This is Wells Tech, a weekly show exploring the intersections of technology and ministry. Your hosts are Sally Draper and Martin Spriggs. Wells Tech is produced by Wells, the Wisconsin Evangelical Lutheran Synod. Welcome back, everybody, to episode 514 of the Wells Tech podcast, recorded on Tuesday, September 12th, 2017. My name is Martin Spriggs, and we're coming to you once again with a show about technology and ministry and where those two intersect. And joining me, as usual, Sally Draper. Hey, Sally, how are you?
I'm good, Martin. Can't think of anything I'd rather be doing on a Tuesday afternoon than talking ministry and technology. And we got a lot of technology to talk about today.
We do. And we are in the month of meetings, we're calling it. We have a focus of the month through this this season, I guess. We started in September here, and it's all about different dynamics of meetings. We'll bring in some technology. We'll talk to some interesting people about how they handle meetings. I thought it was a good topic because September is probably meeting month for a lot of different people. You've come off the summer season and maybe you've taken some time off, time away, and meetings kind of slow down because not everybody's available. But once September hits, then meetings start rolling in again. And I would guess, and maybe probably was of this mind too, that meetings are bad. Meetings are things to be avoided. Do anything but have meetings, because that means you're not doing work. And I think we need to probably dispel that myth, if I can be so bold. And I think some of the things that we'll talk about today will support that.
I am one who can confess that I've had that opinion about meetings in my past, and I perhaps even once or twice fell asleep in a meeting, I'll admit. So,
right.
Something that we need to do.
I applaud you for admitting it. That was
yes, anonymous group
putting it out there.
Something we need to do is make our meetings engaging. So
it's great to hear from one of my virtual employees, you know.
Yeah, it wasn't ever a Wells meeting.
All right, we're going to have a camera on from now on.
Okay, blew my cover, huh? Anyway, I think it's on the side of the meeting presenter or the person that's responsible for the meeting, and also obviously the people that are attending right. The meeting. But maybe we could all learn a little bit about how to make our meetings more productive and engaging, and that would go a long way to solving that problem.
Yep. As I mentioned in the intro, we're trying this month to interview some interesting people who know some things, a thing or two about meetings. And turns out we have one of our administrators who's spent, one of the administrators here in the CMM, who spent quite a bit of time thinking about how to improve meetings. And it's a guy who spends a lot of time in meetings and unique meetings because he is our administrator for World Missions, Larry Schlomer, and he's in meetings with people around the globe, around different topics, different scenarios. He's using different technologies and techniques to, and has to deal with different cultures to try and have effective meetings. So I was lucky enough to sit down with him the other day and do a quick interview and ask him a few questions about how he handles meetings and some of the tools and tips that he might be able to provide to us and our listeners. So let's take a listen to my interview with Larry Schlomer.
Happy to have joining me on Wells Tech in our month of meeting management conversations, Pastor and Administrator Larry Schlomer here at the CMM for World Missions. Thanks for joining me, Larry.
It's good to be here, Martin. Thanks for inviting me.
Yep. Tell us a little bit about yourself, your role at the CMM. Give our listeners a little bit of kind of the backstory of Larry Schlomer.
Excellent. Can do. I'll make it brief, but I've been connected to World Missions for a long time. My dad was a missionary, grew up speaking Spanish in Colombia, and then was called out of the seminary to work in the Dominican Republic, then back to the United States to serve in a ministry in Houston, Texas. That was cross-cultural, also used the Spanish language. While I was there, called by the Synod to be the chairman of the Board for World Missions. And after 2 years of that, Dan Kilpeen retired, and the board called me then to serve as the administrator here in the Center for Mission and Ministry. And I've been here for about 4+ years working.
So you probably had some inkling that you'd be spending a lot of time in meetings when you took this position, because you were a part of those as you came on board. Now you're probably leading many of those. That's what we're talking about this month on Wells Tech, so I thought it'd be great to have your perspective. I know you've got some challenging meetings that you have to be involved with, and for the Lord's work and for ministry. Tell us a little bit about what meetings are like for you, how much time you spend in them, and what you find most challenging about them.
Excellent. Yeah, that's a lot of the work that I do. And I can't imagine that many folks would look at that and say, yeah, just looking forward to a job with a lot of meetings. I think, though, as I've grown into this role, as the Lord has helped, it is something that often I do look forward to. Mm-hmm. And it really is because, you know, those are the times and places where I get to connect to our guys that are doing the work in the field. And so the way, you know, the different meetings that I have, there are those that are local here in the office, synodical council, right. Meetings that I'm just more of a participant in. And then there are those that I help lead and organize on behalf of the Board for World Missions. Right. And then we have these far-flung meetings where we're trying to gather people on teams who are, you know, here in the United States, who volunteer to help our mission work along with our missionaries in the field. Sometimes a national church leader needs to get connected. And so we use a lot of online tools, and different tools work better in different places of the world. To get a lot of that done. So a lot of different people connecting in different ways, some where language can be a bit of a barrier, some where technology is definitely a lot of a barrier.
Right.
And that's kind of the summary of those meetings that I participate in.
And then, of course, the different time zones that you're dealing with, this whole scheduling is probably the first challenge. And then once you're in the meetings, having having the objectives met by, you know, some of the challenges that you mentioned. Yep. You follow some of the suggestions from a book called Traction. Tell us a little bit about what that is and what it has to say about meetings.
Excellent. Yeah, I didn't realize when we started to look at some of the tools in Traction how all-encompassing it would almost become. But we've really found a good, useful tool in the Level 10 meeting.
Okay.
Gina Wickman, the author of that book, really, really specifies, you know, your meetings should be an hour and a half, that's it.
Okay.
And so he sets up a format to make that happen. And so you start with some introductory material, review some of the things that are going on, and then spend the bulk of your meeting addressing and talking about issues that have come up.
Right.
But there's a real set and definite agenda time. So at an hour and a half, you cut that off, knowing when the next meeting is going to be, when you're going to re-engage in that conversation. I know some of the leaders on our mission team have found the same thing that I have,
right.
That now when I sit in a meeting that doesn't use it, you're almost wondering, oh, when are we going to get to the real discussion?
Right.
Because those meetings really have streamlined a way to make that happen.
Okay. Why the name Level 10? What does that stand for?
Good. They in their studies have found that when they polled people holding meetings, how would you rate your meeting in enjoyment and things that it accomplished? Most people on a scale of 1 to 10 rate their meetings at about 4.
Okay.
I can't believe I'm being a spokesman from Gina Wickman, but you know, that they're at a level 4, and the idea is to design something that everybody who participates would rate at a level 10.
Okay.
And at the end of every meeting, he suggests, and most often we do this, where you just poll everybody, so how would you rate our meeting?
Right.
So it's a way to check, you know, are we accomplishing that? Just was on a meeting yesterday with our team from Africa, and the rating was a 9 for that meeting. So I think you can see that people are seeing and appreciate the value of using that tool.
So an example, you know, the meeting you mentioned, how did you get from a 4 to a 9 in that particular case? What was the dynamic? What was the result, mm-hmm. you know, that kind of pushed it upward?
Yeah, there's some pieces that we've really identified to work on in this teamwork aspect. Okay. You know, how do you make sure that you have a level of trust?
Okay.
You know, that people are willing to engage in conflict. You know, we always tend to, as a church, and this is right, you know, our sinful nature can bubble up when right. we're in a moment of conflict. But to understand that competing ideas, you know, that type of conflict is not necessarily in any way sinful. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just something that you have to hash through and do. And so we lay out those rules as groundwork. You know, we're here today not just to talk about all the things we agree about. You know, those are easy. That we right. can do by email. We're here really to talk about the things where we have some difference of opinion, so let's get at it, let's do right. it. And I think people, as they get that permission, you know, that I can actually disagree with the administrator, you know, absolutely, that's right. why we're talking,
right.
You know, that's what they appreciate, and they see us accomplishing things. You know, so you have a sticky wicket to get through, and you talk about it, lay out some concrete solutions, you know, first steps to take care of it. And so people walk away from those meetings saying, you know, that was worth my time. I'm sure not everybody enjoys it as much right. as I do, but most of the people do see that there's something useful that was accomplished.
So you're almost trying to create a little bit of friction to yeah. to kind of get people to address the real issues.
Correct.
Right.
Correct.
Okay. Did you have any friction or pushback trying to get this kind of methodology pushed into your meetings?
Definitely, definitely. I think, you know, the secular tools, if we can call it
yeah.
that Gino presents are all set in the context of making money.
Right.
And so even as you read through some of this material, you have to sift through that. And yeah, we're not in the business of looking at people and the potential they have to buy something for us. But once right. you're able to get past that, I think, like I said, most people can see the value in it.
Sure.
But that's especially some of the initial yep. pushback. You know, we're a church, not a business, and very, very true, and good to have that conversation with those groups so they understand why we're doing it and
right.
what this is about.
I think this is transferable to a church council meeting or school board meetings?
Yes. I feel bad for my lack of that leadership when I was a pastor right. in Houston. I think I could have really added something if I would have been able to introduce something like
sure.
this to them. I think of the guys in the Houston context. You know, we were in a suburb and working downtown. It's just such a big place. Even when hurricanes aren't rolling through,
right.
You know, it takes an hour, you know, to get home, and then to expect them to come to a meeting, and then we'd have meetings that lingered for hours.
Right.
And just painful.
Right.
It would have been nice that they could have participated, find some ways for them to connect online.
Yep.
Why did we have to have them all come to the church?
Yep.
All those things would have been
and
very
just to
useful.
Know you're only going to be there the 90 minutes.
Yep.
Right?
Yep.
Right.
Very much so.
So how has it changed your preparation for meetings? I assume it has.
It has. The level 10 system has a list of issues that you constantly are addressing. So when you get to a meeting, you pick the top issues of the day and make sure you talk about the priority items.
Right.
So it's not just something came up, we got to deal with it. You've got this ongoing list of issues. So everybody knows, okay, there's a topic we need to talk about. They add it to the issues list. There's mm-hmm. somebody that manages that. And once it's there, they have the assurance we're going to get to it when the time is right. But then at a meeting, we don't just necessarily address the most pressing thing that just came up as the emergency,
right.
but can carefully consider what are the most important things we need to talk about.
Right.
That's definitely changed preparation in the sense where I don't have to design an agenda for every meeting. It's already there,
mm-hmm.
and it makes that part very easy as well.
Sure. Are there digital, organizational, or meeting management tools that you use that you found useful in this system?
Yeah, a lot of our teams use Trello boards to keep mm-hmm. track of some of these issues, and so that the people that are working on it, you know, can list some of their progress or challenges, and that's a neat way for them to communicate.
And Trello is a kind of a concept of lists and cards, a very kind of simple concept that you can kind of meld to almost any purpose. So
correct.
It's very simple to kind of get a grasp on and use, and it's
yep.
kind of an enjoyable tool,
yep.
right?
Yep. Yep.
Okay.
People have definitely seen that in that tool.
Mm-hmm.
Another important one, and I know there's other online tools to do this, but is a polling tool to find out when meeting
yeah.
times would fit. and one that a lot of our missionaries are using is Doodle.
Right.
And they find that that's an easy way for everybody to see immediately when a meeting time might work. The other thing that we use is the Wells Cloud that you and your team have set up. All of our teams are able to have a site there, and they have what we call the meeting track.
Okay.
And so anybody can go in and say, okay, what are the issues that are coming up? Let me review those, and they can add issues there, and everybody's on the same page, literally, as they go to that same digital spot as the meeting begins.
Is that like in a Word doc or OneNote or something like that?
Yeah, most use a Word doc. Some have actually expanded it with Excel.
I thought Paul Nitz used an Excel. Yeah,
correct.
I saw that.
Correct. So okay. Different pages that then they can look at and he can manage and put up on a screen.
They probably doesn't really matter as long as it's something that everybody is comfortable with
and
fits the bill. Right?
Exactly.
Okay.
Yeah, I think another big one that they've discovered is the go-to meeting.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we can't, here in the office, we use that Microsoft 360 and the Skype for Business, which works very well when people have that program. But when they're overseas, a lot of them have to use phones to get into that.
Yep.
And so they've started to use GoToMeeting in Africa and in Latin America, and have found that tool works very well for them. I don't know all the ins and outs of of what they've discovered as challenges, but that's where they've settled.
So one last question on distance meetings, as you do a lot of that. The importance of seeing somebody, do you try and do that whenever you can? Is that an important thing, especially for people maybe they don't know each other very well?
Yes. The kind of the pace then and kind of the rule I've set up for myself, in order to have successful online meetings, everybody has to know each other face to face first. Not an absolute necessity, but it sure helps.
Right.
So at least once a year, design a meeting where everybody sits down together.
Sure.
Build those costs into our program.
Right.
Once that happens, then you have just that much more trust. You know, things like Skype and other systems allow us to see each other face to face in a much more intimate way.
Get
than
that
I think
nonverbal stuff going.
Correct, yeah, absolutely, and especially if it's a different language, you almost have to have that.
Right. Larry, thanks for your insights. Blessings on your meetings and your ministry. Thanks for being here.
Thanks, Martin. Appreciate it.
A lot of thanks to Larry for taking the time out of a busy schedule and another meeting with me to figure out this thing that a lot of people for many years have said this is a bad thing. And as you heard Larry say, and as we discussed, meetings don't always have to be bad. They can be tens rather than fours. They can be highly rated experiences if they get the job done, if they're run well, and if they're participated in well.
And I bet nobody ever falls asleep in Pastor Slomar's meetings.
Yeah, I don't know. That's probably a thing that happens. I think in the Bible we heard of somebody falling asleep during a good orator's conversation as well.
Maybe link the orator's conversation.
Yeah. So cool. There was a lot of meat there that Larry provided, and we'll put links to some of that stuff in the show notes. We talked about a book when we introduced the topic called Death by Meetings. And that's a book I read a long time ago. It's been around for years and years. And I just wanted to bring it up once again because it ties right into really what Larry was saying too in our conversation. And maybe the biggest point of the book and maybe the most interesting part of the book is that the reason meetings are boring or inefficient is that they lack drama, that there is no, you know, what makes a TV show or a movie interesting, right? It is a good storyline. It's a good introduction. It's not something that starts, super slow and has these little ebbs and flows. We would rate those very poorly. It's something that has something that catches your attention, that increases your interest, that gets you a little bit more pumped up and on the edge of your seat. And we talked a little bit about this last week. One of those things that creates that interest is conflict, tension, bringing the right issues up at the right time and preventing your attendees from checking out at the beginning so that they're engaged. That means finding the right issues and putting them on the table at the very beginning rather than, you know, hoping they come up or avoiding them or soft selling them. It's really important to kind of figure out what those hot buttons are, put them on the table and deal with them.
Yep. And I think that different meetings can have different purposes. So you don't have to deal with everything in one meeting. You can be more strategic about the types of meetings. And actually, the author kind of lays out a plan for that in depth by meetings, by having, you know, daily meetings that have a certain focus, weekly meetings that have a different focus, so that you're not trying to slay all the dragons at once. You're being more strategic about it.
He calls that creating context so that the meeting environment is set to accomplish the right purpose. So the daily is more just kind of touch base, scheduling, administrative stuff. Are we on the right page? Blah, blah, blah. Weekly is a little bit more tactical because you got a little bit higher view. Then he talks about the monthly strategic, where it's not, you know, throw everything at this meeting. It's he recommends two topics. Pick two very strategic topics that you spend a morning on or an afternoon on, something like that. And then finally, a quarterly meeting where there's some preparation and homework and kind of the big picture. Why are we here? How is what we've been doing the last 3 months affecting the organization in a positive way, negative way, and what should we be doing the next 3 months? There's a lot of common sense in here, but I like the progression of thought, the understanding that, hey, tension is okay if you're setting the right environment up, that you're giving people permission to challenge the status quo, to challenge each other, and to finally get down to solutions rather than just kind of talking around the problem. And all of that, Sally, I think, you know, one of the big things that comes through the book, which is kind of neatly written because it's not a philosophical or business type book. It's written is a kind of a soap, almost a soap opera, you know, so he's kind of practicing what he's preaching. There's a drama unfolding and you kind of relate to the key characters and it's kind of fun. But one thing that this suggests is that you're actually spending more time in meetings rather than less. So the whole point is, and that's the case for a lot of knowledge workers like us and people in ministry, is that it is very difficult to do your job without quality meetings, and sometimes a lot of them. So some people would listen to all these things and say, well, that's I don't have time for all that. I have too much time. I don't have enough time to attend all of these meetings. And one of the points that he makes in the book is kind of interesting. He says, add up all the meeting type functions that you do outside of those meetings, like trying to schedule the meetings, like email back and forth, like phone calls, like corrections, and, you know, everything that doesn't go on inside a meeting does take time outside of the meeting. And if you add all that stuff up, I think things can get done more efficiently, and especially with the technology of the day, in a more efficient manner in a meeting.
You know, one thing that strikes me is that we have long list of things to do, and you were describing the monthly meeting focusing just on two topics, and you described, you know, all those things that we need to do around meetings and the time we spend doing them. And maybe it is simply that adopting this methodology will get us more focused, get us drilled down to what we really need to do. And maybe we just can't accomplish everything all at once. And instead, having these focused meetings and, you know, being very strategic about it, we'll get more things done in the long run.
Right. So if you are stuck in meetings and the leader of the meeting is just kind of not getting it, you know what his next or her next stocking stuffer might be. This is this little book called Death by Meetings. It's actually very good, and it's not long to read either. So,
If I were stuck in meetings, I'd like to be stuck in meetings with Pastor Rob Gunther.
Nice,
because he wrote to us this week. Yeah, he wrote to us in response to a question about how congregations and schools do strategic planning and how they engage their members in the process. And he shared an example of their ministry plan. I guess I could share my screen real quick, but basically a document that they have that they work together to tweak as a council of the church. And then they share this document, not in this final format, but in this rough format as they're working through their ministry plans for a new year. They share it with the members of the church and ask them to read through and make comments and suggest changes and things like that before
really
they finally
collaboration.
Yeah, come back together and make the final copy and things. So that's an easy way. Just send out the link via email or whatever it is and get people to take a look and give feedback. So I thought that was really great. But he also led into a couple of other things that he does. He says, we also do two other things that engage our members. Let me just stop sharing for a minute. First of all, they do an event called Food for Thought. And he says the council buys pizza and salad, the food, for the congregation in exchange for their ideas and input on ministry, the thought. We jot everything down on whiteboards and notepads and then prioritize what we want to do in what order. It's ranged from we need more serving spoons to let's redo our flower beds to let's do some campus ministry at the local college. So it's kind of anything goes, a great brainstorming session, and they have a fun event around it with food and that kind of thing. The second one, I really love this idea. They have a biennial evangelism Shark Tank. And here you go. I got to share my screen one more time. Do you watch Shark Tank, the TV show, Martin?
I never did. I know the concept, though.
Okay. So the concept is someone's pitching an idea to get investors, basically, in some kind of business venture. And he says that they invite members to pitch their outreach and evangelism ideas to the Sharks, which is the evangelism team, who act as investors. We pick our favorite ideas and give them $100 to make it happen. Sometimes other projects also get another 100 or maybe 50, depending on the project and what the investors are willing to spend. But we only budget $200 from the church, so the rest comes from us. It's not really a competition, but it does get people thinking outside the box. Ideas that have been generated are things like a free clothing exchange, church website ads printed on labels stuck to water bottles and passed out to fishermen, Bible verses and candy and Easter eggs passed out at the mall, and one we're planning this year, 9-volt batteries passed out to neighbors before daylight savings, and Grace Grog, which is Bear Brothers Highlander grog printed in custom Grace bags and passed out to people that have moved to the community. So sounds like a lot of fun.
That's awesome.
Get people thinking creative.
Yeah.
And a fun event for people to get excited about outreach.
I love that battery idea. I'm surprised I haven't seen that around. That's an awesome idea.
So. Yeah.
I guess the theme is, or the concept is, change the batteries in your smoke detector.
They've
got some kind of messaging around that and connecting it to a spiritual concept. That's cool.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks, Rob, for sharing that. As always, awesome.
Yeah, I want to be in his meetings. Those sound like fun meetings to attend, huh?
One thing that Larry mentioned, and I know Rob uses, and we use, of course, are digital tools that help us organize, communicate, those kinds of things. And it's probably worth a pause in our conversation just to go through a couple of those that make sense, some that we have found very useful. And one of my absolute favorite tools is OneNote. And OneNote is a Microsoft product, and it is kind of a jack of all trades and a master of almost all of them as well. It does a great job at what it does, and that's collect information and organize it. And we've talked about it on the show before, and one great thing about it is you can get a free version through a Microsoft account, which is online. We have an Office 365 subscription, so we get the online version, which also syncs to the offline version, which is what you're seeing here. And it's very simple to understand. There's tabs And while there's at the highest level, there's notebooks, and you can have as many notebooks as you like. So we have, let's say, a charge card receipts notebook that all the team members who have charge cards can put their receipts in. But we have a team notebook called Wells Technology Notebook. And in each of those notebooks, you have tabs. So those tabs divide up kind of core topics. And then in each tab, you have as many pages and subpages as you like. So we just started doing this this particular tab I'm looking at called Team Member Weekly Reports this past Monday, where our team gets together in a monthly or a weekly meeting. And everybody puts down their reporting information on their own page. And everybody else can see anybody else's. And we can dive into somebody else's last week report or this week report and just get a good sense for what everybody's doing. And everybody can be in it at the same time. So the collaboration factor on this is just awesome. You have the ability to all be in the same document. You can throw in attachments, audio files, video files, images, any kind of text or to-do items. Tagging and searching are tremendous in this tool. I've never been unable to find something that's in OneNote based on just a little piece of information or fragment of information that I can remember about it. Punch that into search and it gives you all the suggested topics, and your search term is highlighted right on the page. It does optical character recognition. So if you upload a PDF, it'll scan that. If you take a picture of a business card, it'll scan that, and you can search for content on that. I'm a huge fan. And this is great for meeting both meeting agendas, meeting notes, or even prep for a meeting where it can be centralized and shared with everybody. So big OneNote fan over here.
Awesome.
That's not my pick, tip, or ministry resource of the week either. It's a freebie.
Okay. Let that be known. I have a tool to share as well, one that we use on a daily basis in our office as well, and it's for organizing our things to do around projects. Yep. And it's called Trello. We've talked about Trello many times in the past. Trello is built around the concept that you have a board, and then on that board are lists or groups of cards. And then on each list, you can add more, and you can tag cards, and you can put due dates on them and checklist of things to do. And typically our boards have something called inbox for new things, something called backlog for things that we're going to get to eventually, maybe something called WIP, which for us stands for work in progress, things that we're working on currently, and then a done column where we can slide things over when things are completed. We may have meetings and other reference materials and things like that in list as well. The list are not just these titles that you see on the main screen, but you can click into a list and add comments and have conversations with team members. It's a great way to document things as you're working through a process or whatever it may be. So definitely a project management type tool that we bring up actually in our meetings. We share it with our customers so they can see where we are in the process as cards move through the process and move over to the done column, that kind of thing. So been a great tool in that regard, just to keep up with all our things to do.
Yeah, and both of these, OneNote and Trello, awesome tools, also mobile friendly, iPad or a tablet or phone. So if you use, these can double as kind of a task list or to-do list that you can put shopping lists on or whatever, you know, when you've got the mobile device in your hand and nothing else. So cool. Mm-hmm. Couple other tools. When we wrote the book, that sounds a little arrogant because it's really not meant that way. When we wrote our book, I have it right here in front of me, but With All Your Heart, our project management for churches, schools, and what's the tagline again? I even forget.
Project management for churches, Christian schools, and faith-based organizations with all your heart.
Part of that, yeah. Anyway, the reason I brought it up is we were able to put some templates together and some source material, and we'll make that available as well. One of them that came to mind as we were prepping for this conversation was the meeting agendas. Potential ways to structure a meeting, and there's all kinds of other good stuff in there as well, but you may want to check that out. One thing that, was it Rob that mentioned it? The importance of projecting stuff on the screen during a meeting. So that's part of his deal as they work on these collaborative Google Docs, that one thing that they do when they all get together is make sure they're all looking at the document, edit right in that document, action items, notes, whatever. And then the neatest part about this is while they're collaboratively doing this, they're seeing it going up on the wall. But once the meeting's over, the meeting notes are done. The minutes are done. They're right there and everybody can look at them and say, yeah, that's what we talked about. So you don't have to, you can dispense with some of that junk that a lot of meetings have because it's done right there in the meeting. That's super productive. And projection of some kind is probably an important part of that process.
Yeah, and then we won't want to ignore audio and video, so you can keep an eye on those distance people and make sure they don't fall asleep. You need to have good audio connections, like a speakerphone kind of thing to use, and perhaps video cameras on each end so you guys can see each other for those distance meetings. And I know many of our district conference circuit, probably circuits are doing some video conferencing
where they're bringing together. They are. The ones that have a lot of distance between them, sure.
Mm-hmm. So just an idea for you, if you have meetings and it's really hard to get everybody in the same place, using audio and video conferencing, things like Skype or Google Hangouts is a great way to go.
Yep. Two little pieces of technology there. The camera, I would always recommend. This has been a recommendation for the last 5 years. They really haven't changed it or needed to. Logitech C920 HD Pro webcam. I think that's what I'm using now. I'm assuming that's what you're using as well, Scott.
Yep.
Great images. You could even use the microphone in a pinch. It's got a pretty good microphone. But if you're doing a lot of meetings, that's a good thing to have. It's not overly expensive. It's under $100. I think it's in the $60 or $70 range. It's at Best Buy and all those places. And then a good speaker phone. We use a Chat 150 series. It's by Clear One in our conference rooms. But I also have a little portable Jabra that works great. It's Bluetooth and USB kind of devices for conference calling. So it doesn't have to set you way back to take this a little bit more seriously, this long distance stuff, and opens up some new doors for you.
Definitely. Well, we've covered a lot about meetings today.
We ought to move on is what I'm hearing. And you've stayed awake the entire time. I applaud you.
So far, so good. Keep watching that video, folks.
Well, this next segment, I'm going to stay awake for it too. This is exciting stuff coming out of Apple. Both Sally and I were looking at the pieces, at least, of the Apple keynote, which happened here on whatever day we're recording, 9/12/17. And interesting stuff. Start with the boring stuff. Apple Watch now has cellular. Apple TV. Apple TV has 4K. They're kind of the last ones of the set-top boxes to bring 4K to the table. They introduced an iPhone 8. Which looks a lot like the iPhone 7. So that wasn't too groundbreaking. In fact, they nipped some of the colors out of their lineup that they had before. I noticed they didn't have any of the shiny black ones anymore. So I think it was silver. What was it? Silver, gold, and space gray, maybe something like that. So they stuck with the tried and true. But the big announcement at the very end was this new iPhone 10 or iPhone X, as I think it'll probably be branded, but iPhone 10, which got rid of the home button, uses facial recognition with infrared, with this something called dot projection. They spent a lot of time with the technology around how they're going to recognize that it's you, whether you grow a beard over time or wear your hair differently or have a hat on or even in the dark. They have different technologies built into this new phone, which is an edge-to-edge display, which it looks kind of nice in that respect. Wireless charging, so they're catching up with a lot of other phone manufacturers, allow wireless charging. And then your favorite feature, Sally. What was your favorite feature?
They called it Animoji. And I would not buy a phone because it has emojis that talk. You can
not just any emojis. I mean, these are they map them to your face. Your so you got these foxes and kitties, and
they smile or shake their heads just the way you are. And they can record your voice along with it. So you can put a little video in your Apple messages. That's what they're good for, is just their proprietary messages.
You didn't mention the pile of poo demo that they made.
I am really surprised that they did that. And, you know, the other thing that's, that made me chuckle, and I think a lot of people, was the guy that was demoing it with a live iPhone 10 in his hand, demonstrating things. The first time he tried to get into the phone, the facial recognition failed. And he tried it a second time, and he ended up putting in his passcode. And then later in the demo, he went back and did it, and it worked. But after all their buildup of facial recognition, it was a fail on the stage. So interesting.
It just strikes me that they're really focused on the consumer, which their shareholders probably are really excited about, because that's a huge market. Doesn't strike me as any of the features that they're really talking about advance the business user's experience or a productive person interested in being more productive. In fact, mm-hmm. It probably goes the other way. I can even imagine the hours of wasted time that you're never going to get back animating your little emojis.
Got to be a fox.
And we forgot to mention what the price tag is. Conveniently, $1 tucked under $1,000, so $999 for the base model of the iPhone X. So not ordering one anytime soon. How about you, Sally?
No, but I bet you the future will hold one. They'll come down. Yeah. I did notice that they were plus-sized only. They didn't have a small version.
Oh, that's right. I didn't even notice that. Yes.
Yeah. They threw a screen up, and the prices are coming down on the 6 and the 7. They had that up on the screen. But the picture of the X didn't have a small version. So.
No. They had kind of a homage to Steve Jobs, who was kind of the brains behind the first iPhone, and they opened up this new Steve Jobs Center, which is on their campus, on the new Apple campus there, which looked kind of cool. So it was a lot of retrospectives and, you know, some cool stuff. But interesting. Apple has a way of making a big splash. He did quote Wayne Gretzky, for all you hockey fans out there. He was quoted as saying, and they were trying to intimate that this is the way Apple thinks, I skate to where the puck is going to be, not where it's been. So this is a smartphone of the future, apparently.
Yeah, we'll see. What kind of impact it has. Yeah. I've kind of laughed, too, because I'm pretty sure my husband had a phone that had facial recognition. Like, this isn't brand new, but they made you think it was, or they've done it better, or whatever.
That's the Apple distortion field, I think. Yeah. All right, let's move on to things that will make a difference, and in short order, and that's stuff that is coming out of our Synod under our Wells Now section.
Yep, we have a brand new interactive faith Bible study, online Bible study series that will be kicking off on October 4th. The new six-week Bible study is led by Professor Joel Otto from the seminary, and it's entitled Luther's Lasting Impact. So you can study the Bible with Martin Luther and see, as Lutherans living in the 21st century, what Luther brought about and how it's still a part of who we are as Christians and as the church. It's a six-week Bible study. It's happening on Wednesday evenings at 6 and 8 p.m. Central. So they do the same thing at either time. You can gather a group of people together and watch it as a group. There's times where they pause during the Bible study so you can have some group discussion and things. Typically takes about an hour to sit in on the sessions. And then they're archived online so you can do it at any time after that date. So good stuff.
Very good. Let's move on to our tips or picks of the week. Sally, you've got the honors.
Well, thank you, sir. I selected an article I read recently about building your school brand. It says a proven marketing strategy can help schools thrive among the masses. So this gal used to be a teacher, and she's now a marketing consultant. And she and another guy, I don't have his name in front of me, wrote a book called Brand Ed. It's by Eric Scheniger and Trish Rubin. And this little article gives you a good introduction to it. One thing that she says into the article is that we have a website, it has a logo, we got a mascot, what more do you want? That's our brand, right? And she kind of dispels that and says that brands are more about a feeling. And she gave an example of Disney World and what you want to think of, what Disney wants us to think of when we think of Disney World, fun, family, and entertainment. You know, so can you boil down what your school, or perhaps applying this to your church, what your church, how you want to be thought of, and how can you help convey those feelings to the people that you want engaged with your school and church? And there's a whole lot more to it than that, but I thought it was a really good way to kind of explain something that is a lot more than the logo and the mascot on the website. So, perhaps an interesting read to go ahead and get the book and dive in a little deeper, but certainly this article will give you an introduction to the concepts in the book and maybe start you thinking a little bit differently about branding.
Very nice. Good catch. Yeah. I like it. My pick of the week is actually a rerun from a while back, but I picked it because I'm using it like all the time in my Mary Lutheran High School online course, which is on web page design. So I've got 16 students, and distance learning, as it turns out, is not as easy as one might think. You have to try and figure out ways to communicate with the kids, and it can't just be through kind of forum posts or chats. There has to be a way to demonstrate things, and my pick is Screencast-O-Matic. What this does is just a little utility. You go to Screencast-O-Matic and you click the Start Recording button. It'll download a little bit of a recording tool to your computer, both Mac or PC, and you can record up to 15 minutes of screen capture time in your browser or anywhere on your screen, I guess. And then it's a quick button click to upload that. So if you're trying to demonstrate something or help a student through something, and I'm obviously teaching how to code, it's a lot easier to show them rather than tell them or take the time to type it all out and hope I'm specific enough. If you just show them, you've got the audio, you've got the video, and Screencast-O-Matic is just a super way to quickly do that. There's very little friction in trying to get this up and running. It is free for up to 15-minute recordings. You can record the screen and your webcam, so if you want the people to see you, that can happen. You can publish directly to YouTube. You can also save it locally as a video file. If you want to go the next step up, which is really good value, I think for $15 a year, you don't have any watermarks. You can make longer recordings. You can also record your computer's audio. You get some editing tools, some scripted recordings. You can draw and zoom. A lot of the things that you can do with Camtasia, which was a pick of mine last week or 2 weeks ago. So I promise this will be the last screencasting pick I make for a while. But these are things that are really in my tool belt each and every day as I'm teaching a class that is set up over Moodle. Or distance learning. And I know a lot of you that are listening have flipped classrooms or are doing pieces of flipped classrooms for a particular subject matter or whatever. This would be a great tool to consider. I have not found really any fault with how it records. It just works, and that's a great thing. It just kind of stays out of your way. You engage it when you need to engage it. You tuck it away when you don't, and you're done. So that's screencast-o-matic.com.
Nice pick, Martin. I'm curious, you said it's a download, right? It doesn't work specifically in a browser. You could record things on your screen besides a browser?
Yes.
Awesome.
And I want to say, and I'm probably thinking of a different application, so maybe our listeners could correct me, but I thought there was something that maybe it wasn't Screencast-O-Matic that you could even use in a Chrome, like on a Chromebook. for screencasting. I have to look that up. I don't know if this is that product or not, if there's a feature for that or not. I'd have to do a little bit more research. But I'm working on a Windows machine or a Mac. You know, it depends on the, you know, the need, but it works just as well in either of those devices. So.
Okay, so I asked a loaded question because you need to listen in a few minutes because I'm going to have something for Chromebooks. So give me a minute and I'll get there.
And we didn't even plan that, did we?
No, not at all, obviously.
like we ever do. Let's move on to community feedback.
Oh, let's. I have some cool stuff to share. Starting with an infographic from our friend Perry Lund. He is the administrator behind the Wells Office 365 group on Google Plus, and he shared an infographic about three things to try this year in Office 365 for teachers. And the advice it gives is don't try too hard, don't worry, and be smart. And the tools they challenge you to try are forms, so you can get to forms that feed into a spreadsheet, an Excel sheet. You can try Class Notebook, where you can share resources and collaborate with pupils. And then you can try Teams. If you're going to try Notebook, then you'll love the digital hub that is Microsoft Teams. So there's more information on the infographic. We actually pinned it onto our Pinterest board. So we'll have a link in the show notes to that so you can check it out. Meanwhile, over in the Wells Google Schools group on Google Plus, Rachel Feld threw out a question about favorite classroom apps as she was developing some new coursework for MLC in her new role there. And we've got a pretty much laundry list of cool apps and things that people shared with Rachel, a couple that I hadn't tried before, one of which is an app called Soapbox, which works on Chromebooks. It's actually a free Chrome extension that allows people to record, edit, and share high quality video in minutes. So I actually went out and tried it, although I went back today to show my video and it wasn't behaving exactly right. So it may be a little buggy, but the cool thing about it is it does run in the browser. You don't have to download any software or anything. It's a Chrome plugin and you actually get a little blue video camera up in your browser. I don't know if you guys can see that. It's kind of tiny, but you just click that and it starts recording. It does, like Screencast-O-Matic, record your webcam at the same time. And so you can actually show just your webcam, just the screen, or a split screen of your webcam and the screen that you're sharing, that you're talking about, or whatever. So that's a pretty nice feature. I did find that you can only do three videos with it for free, and then the price tag is quite a bit more than Screencast-O-Matic. It was $99 a month, which was kind of shocking to do more. So, maybe you can keep your students down to just using it for one project or something, and it would be a good fit for Chromebooks to do just a couple of videos or whatever. One more worth mentioning, I want to say this was from Kurt Gosdek, that there's an app called Book Creator where you can create ebooks easily on mobile devices. And I didn't get a chance to try this one out. They have some videos and things where you can see examples. A million books made per month in Book Creator. So it looks like it's for Chrome or for iOS. So maybe it works on Chromebooks as well. I didn't dig in as deep, but I really want to. So maybe this will be a pick of mine in the future. And then finally, just a question that came in today. Al Waldron from Shepherd of the Hills in Lansing, Michigan, called and asked about online giving. And I did a little bit of digging on the Wells Tech website, and I found that in the past we had linked people up with Vanco Payment Solutions. It's at vancopayments.com. This is actually what my church and my mom's church, I've seen a lot of churches making use of this, so this might be a good option. And then also the Easy Tithe website. It's actually an app that you can use and maybe a dashboard on a computer, and people can do online giving or mobile giving or text to give or giving at a kiosk. So just a couple for people to look into if you're looking for a church online donation solution.
So does your church there in New Ulm have a solution?
We use Vanco payments, yes.
That's what we use as well. And our financial people seem to like it a lot. So I highly recommend it based on their recommendation. Mm-hmm. It's pretty easy. You can set up recurring payments, one-time gifts, those kinds of things. So,
yeah.
And it does help out your congregation or, you know, whatever giving beneficiary that you have identified, even if you're taking a little bit of hit on payment, on transaction or processing fees. One thing it does, especially with recurring payments, is, you know, it doesn't, if they've set up a recurring payment, it doesn't matter if they're on vacation or that's what I like about it too. It just keeps kind of that regular schedule and that kind of giving routine, that planned giving routine. So it's cool. Mm-hmm.
And one thing I mentioned was that list of apps and recommendations from people that when Rachel asked about their favorite things, and our friend Jason Schmidt actually recommended a couple of YouTube channels, one of which is called Smarter Every Day. And that's where I picked up the video for our video of the week. From Smarter Every Day, the guy behind the site was working with an engineer, and he had come up with a bicycle that was reverse engineered, basically. If you steered toward the left, the wheel turned toward the right. And if you steered toward the right, the wheel turned toward the left. And he went through this whole experiment of how long it took his brain to be able to ride this bicycle. It took him 2 months. Mm-hmm. And then one day it just clicked and he could ride this bicycle. And then he had his son do it, who was 6 years old, and it took him 2 weeks before he could ride it. And then he tried to go back to riding a regular bicycle and he couldn't do it. So he thought he had taught his brain something new, but he had actually rewired his brain
to balance
the correct way. It's a really interesting concept and he does a good job with it. Just one of the videos at Smarter Every Day on YouTube.
I was wondering, as you were telling me this, so your husband, Kevin, went with a Dvorak keyboard.
He does, yeah.
It's not a QWERTY keyboard. You have to learn this. Did he continue down that path? And if so, if he did, he switch back? And what was that transition like?
Dude, he is 100% Dvorak. I touch his keyboard and I scream, but he has a little, like I can control alt something and switch it to a regular keyboard. When he learned it, he actually took his keys off the keyboard and moved them around so they were in the right place. But now he doesn't even do that. The keys are in the normal place for a QWERTY keyboard. And when he types, it's doing something completely different than what the keys show. Nice. And he says it's more efficient and yeah, crazy, huh? So what you can teach your brain.
Keyboard savant or freak, I'm not sure. But
yeah, one of those.
But he claims he's faster.
That's right. It's a more efficient layout.
All right, we'll have to do a little contest. So, what do your boys do? Are they?
I have one that's Dvorak. The others stayed traditional. Yep.
Ah, that's funny. Okay, we should move on to our ministry resources segment. I was up this week to highlight a ministry resource, and I cheated a little bit here too. Do a quick screen share. And that is because there are some new resources out for the Called Worker Compensation, from the Called Worker Compensation Committee. While back I had talked about, or I think as a pick of the week maybe, or a ministry resource, the Called Worker Compensation Calculator, which is up and available and something that anybody could use to basically calculate the compensation for any type of call worker. So pastor, teacher, principal, whatever, because you do have the ability to kind of drill down and pick the position type. And then you can enter things like cost of living, increase, housing allowance, health insurance, years of service, those kinds of things. But the news is that the chairman of that committee, who is a professor now, Earl Treptow at the seminary, put together a Bible study, a video Bible study. It's pretty short. It's 8.5 minutes, actually. And there's associated PowerPoint slides. There's also a written Bible study that goes along with that. There's a link to that off of the blog post here, but also off of the calculator, too. I also include a link to the presentation Pastor or Professor Trepto gave to the Synod Convention this past summer that talked a little bit more in detail about some of the rationale behind it. But I think this is great. You are giving some really valuable tools to people who have a thankless job in trying to figure out how our call workers should be compensated. And these tools that they're putting out, these Bible studies and such, are really important to that process. So the summary of the Bible study that he put out reads, "This brief Bible study on call worker comp focuses on a few key passages." As I mentioned, it's only 8.5 minutes, reminding calling bodies of God's grace and providing public ministers of the gospel and their God-given responsibilities toward those who minister to and with them. The study offers guidance to congregations and schools regarding a process to follow and tools available to assist them in a careful, prayerful, and thoughtful approach to compensation. So I can envision this being used at a council meeting or a school board meeting, something like that. It's not going to take the whole time, but it's a great way to dive in and start on the right foot down these conversations.
Great resource. Thanks for sharing
that. So take a look at the blog post and the links that are there. There's all kinds of good stuff. So speaking of videos, Sally, we have a featured video.
Well, yeah, I kind of tipped my hat to that. I have the featured video of the Backwards Brain Bicycle, but we also can definitely link to the channel EOS Worldwide that has that traction level 10 meeting
discussion. Larry mentioned right in the interview at the top of the show.
Yeah. Yeah. So a couple of different options there. If you're looking for some video, Wells Tech is the place to go.
Absolutely. Sally, tell the good people how they can contribute to the show.
We would love it if you guys would head on over to our show notes website. You can find it at wellstech.wells.net, and there you'll find all kinds of links to connect with Wells Tech and the greater Wells Tech community, including Google+, Facebook, Twitter, Digo, Pinterest, Instagram. You can find us in your favorite podcasting software and email us, leave us a voicemail. The possibilities are very numerous. So please tune in and point your browsers to wellstech.wells.net. Thank you.
And we're going to be back at it next week with week 3 of our focus on meetings, meeting management, meeting productivity. This will be all about strategic planning. And you've got a guest that you have worked with in that strategic planning process, right, Sally?
That's right, Martin. Actually, I was kind of laughing at the beginning of the show when you said it's time to gear back up and have meetings, because we did strategic planning over the summer, a little more relaxed and brainstorming kind of feeling. And now we're just getting into the fall and back into our regular meeting schedules. But operation. I'm part of a Treasure House board. It's our local resale shop. And that's the group I'm referring to. And Brian Fisher, our friend and lay member of our congregation. He's also an officer on the council at St. Paul's in New Ulm. He led us through that strategic planning. So we're going to get Brian to sit down with us and share some of his knowledge. He's a business owner and very good facilitator for strategic planning.
Nice. So we'll look forward to that in week 3 in episode 515. Thanks again for tuning in, everybody. I think that's going to do it for this show. Say goodbye, Sally.
Goodbye, Sally. Have a good week.
So long, everybody. We'll see you next week. Bye-bye. Thank you.